Brethren, if you want to grab your hymn books and open to the hymn we just sang, we'll be basing our exhortation this morning upon this hymn. We've entitled our remarks, The Rod Out of Zion. And today we're going to be looking into the future at a time that our hymn reflects in its words, a time of hope, a time of promise, a time of change and even destruction, a time spoken of from ages past. The first verse starts out, "From Zion shall thy rod proceed, the sword of judgment in thy hand shall make the hearts of rebels bleed and bring the world to thy command." We start out with the mention of Zion, the city and area of Jerusalem. And from this city will proceed forth the rod or scepter. The rod is mentioned many times in Scripture and is a symbol of power, judgment, position, and inheritance. Among the many mentions in the Psalms by David regarding the rod, we have these, Psalms 2, 8, and 9. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In Psalm 23, verse 4, we have this that we're very familiar with. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And finally, the verse from which we get our hymn, Psalm 110, verse 2. "The Lord, Yahweh, shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." In the Revelation, we have several mentions of this same concept. In Revelation 2, 27, we read, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father." 12:5. "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne." In Revelation 19:15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword," also mentioned in our hymn. "Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." The strong staff, the scepter of authority, this shall go forth from Zion unto all the world. We see the sword of judgment wielded in a hand, but by who? Let's turn to Revelation 19 again. And we'll read verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brother Thomas brings this scene to us in Eureka. Sorry. He says this: the principal figures in the scene before us are the King of Kings, or Yahweh, the host in the heaven, and the white horse upon which they ride. All these represent a power engaged in a righteous war with the nations, which are at length smitten or conquered and governed by the victors. The central figure of the group is the Faithful and True One, with eyes as it were a flame of fire, and upon his head many diadems. He is seen sitting upon a white horse with a name inscribed upon him, and with a sharp, long, or far-reaching sword issuing from his mouth. The scene is the amplification of chapter 17:14, which says, the 10 horns receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one policy, and shall deliver their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And they who are with him are called and chosen and faithful. These are the parties in the war: the King of Kings and his followers on the one part, and the beast and kings of the earth of the other. The war waged in righteousness by Yahweh Sabaoth, he who shall be host or of armies. The Faithful and True One is the war of the great day of the all-powerful deity, when the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted. The result of the conflict will be the transfer of the many diadems from the 10 horns to the head of the King of Kings, who will then be not only King of Israel, but King of all nations of the earth, whom he henceforth possesses as an inheritance, with none to dispute his claim. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the branch thou madest strong, the mouth like a sharp sword, eyes as a flame of fire. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. In Psalm 2:6, we read, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. In Psalm 99:2, we read, Yahweh is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. In Isaiah 2:3, we read, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Psalm 132, we're going to read 13 through 18. These are the promises that we are given, brethren. This is the future that will come. Psalm 132:13. For Yahweh has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. The hymn speaks of the time when God's law and word will go forth from Zion to all nations. But not all will be accepting. The hearts of the rebels, and there will be rebels, shall bleed. Now, it is interesting in the Old Testament, the word rebels or rebellious has general meaning in many of the cases. If you look either of those words up, has meaning to Israel. There are many mentions of a rebellious house. So that we may see, even though there will be many of the nations, the Gentile nations, who rebel at the law of the Lord, there will be Jews in the same boat. Isaiah 39 tells us that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. In Isaiah 65, 2, we read, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, that was after their own thoughts. There will be rebellious people in both camps. In Zechariah 13, 7 through 9, we read this. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith Yahweh Zaveath. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. A third left. That's quite a rebellious bunch. When we look at all of the natural circumstances, the disasters we call them, volcanoes and earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis, it's not very far-fetched that the Lord Yahweh could destroy much of the earth and much of the rebellious people with a mere mention of a word. But through all of this tribulation and trial, we will see that all mankind will eventually be brought under the command of Yahweh and His Son. Second verse. That day shall show thy power is great, when Jews shall flock with willing feet, and strangers crowd the temple gate, where holiness and beauty meet. The great power of Yahweh. In the second verse, we continue singing of the show of glory and power of God, and those of deity manifest. And we see that there will be Jews who will change their manner of walk and direct themselves to their new king as well. Jews shall flock with willing feet, and strangers crowd the temple gate. Ezekiel 11, 17 to 20. We read this. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This will happen, but not without great loss and sadness and calamity. All shall worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Zephaniah 2:11. The Lord will be terrible unto them. He will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Zechariah 14:16 and 17. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Zaveah, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth in Jerusalem to worship the king, Yahweh Zaveah, even upon them shall be no rain. And we know today how devastating. That seems like a very small, insubstantial judgment. But if you look at the nations and the countries and the areas of the world that receive no rain, what do they have? They have dirt. They have nothing. No crops. No food. This is a devastating judgment because of their rebellion. Isaiah 66:20. We're going to read through 23. Isaiah 66:20 to 23. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon mules and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith Yahweh. As the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heaven and new earth which I will make, shall remain before me, saith Yahweh, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one moon, new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord Yahweh. And in Isaiah 61, 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified. The day when the power of Yahweh and his multitudinous Christ is great, when people that are left will come to Zion to worship, when the Jews shall have a healing heart and acknowledge Yahweh as their God and bow the head, when strangers even will do the same, where holiness and beauty meet. The last verse in Isaiah is a great lead-in that brings us to the last verse of our hymn. The beauty of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, joy and praise, glorification. We see that in these words. O blessed hour, O glorious day. What a great victory shall be thine when listening kingdoms shall obey and bow before the power divine. Brethren, this is all our hope and desire. The time when all nations will be subjugated and will worship the King and his Son. The time when the promise to Abraham will be fulfilled. In Galatians 3, we read in verses 6 through 9. See, it all goes back to Abraham and the promises, does it not? From the beginning, the promises, like we were talking about in our Sunday school class. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. That's what we're speaking of. The time coming soon when all nations shall be blessed. So then that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Isaiah 2, 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, of Yahweh's house, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. As many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O blessed hour, a glorious day, a great victory indeed. Brother Williams in The World's Redemption says this. It's mid-sentence. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Words that will not be addressed to those who have believed the traditions of the world and refused the clear teachings of the Word of God. Should it be our lot to be accepted by him at his righteous judgment, we shall then be among that happy company to whom the kingdom shall be given. For it is said the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Comes from Daniel 7. Then with hearts thrilled with joy and delight and voices turned in harmony with truth and righteousness, we shall send up to heaven the anthem of praise. O blessed hour, O glorious day. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, that we shall reign on the earth. Then he reads hymn 137, in which the last verse says this. Yes, he reigns the great Messiah, in millennial glory crowned. Israel's hope and earth's desire, now triumphant and renowned. Heaven and earth with all their regions at his footstool prostrate fall. Heaven and earth with all their legions crown Emmanuel, Lord of all. Hail Emmanuel, reign forever. Heaven to earth reflects the sound. What a great victory shall be thine. Listening kingdoms shall obey and bow before the power divine. That is what's coming, brethren. And that time is coming soon. Let us turn to Psalm 72. I want to close with this psalm. Psalm 72, starting at verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They that fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and the precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains, The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. We'll continue our service with the memorial hymn 153. By Christ redeemed and Christ restored, we keep the memory adored and show the death of our dear Lord until he come. Hymn 153.